Welcome to the 5D Academy of Higher Consciousness. I'm Zarathustra, broadcasting live from Sedona, Arizona. Another majestic day here. It's really warm, and it's in the middle of the summer, and we had a little taste of the monsoons, and then it stopped. But I really enjoy the heat. The only thing is from like 11, 12 o'clock noontime, or from 11 till like 5 o'clock, you just want to be by the water. There's not much you can do out there. So it gets hot and dry. And those of you who live in Europe, you wouldn't like it. I'm a desert lizard. I can handle 30 degrees plus. So I thrive on it. And similarly, if I come to Europe in wintertime, I'm always shivering. So, yeah. Okay, so we have some very interesting topics today to talk about. So our participants have come up with great topics, which always helps me because I've been doing this for a little bit over 10 years or 10 years. We started the 5D Academy of Higher Consciousness in 2015, and now it's 2025. So it's been 10 years going. And so naturally I run out of topics. Since I'm not inviting other people to talk about things or interviewing them or anything like that. But one question is reincarnation. It's about where do we go after this body dies? And do we reincarnate? And what is the whole story? What happens to us? And do we remember our past lives? These are valid questions that everybody wonders, like, where do we go after we die? And what happens? But with that, also, we need to ask the question, where were we before we were born? So what about that one? And how many people remember that? So we're going to dive into this and talk about it. There's another topic that also another beloved participant of ours has asked is, what is unconditional love and basic trust? And how do we bring them together? Are they one or they're separate? So let me start with the reincarnation business first, because this one, it seems like it's more fluid for me and it's coming out and it's easy for me to talk about it. Do you hear my voice? Is my voice good enough? Yeah, great. So there, reincarnation exists and it doesn't exist. So it does exist from the point of view of relative reality, because the 5D quantum awareness, what we're teaching, it's rooted into the Advaita Vedanta teachings, and that's where its roots come from. And so the 5D quantum awareness, this consciousness arriving at this state, this place of elevating your consciousness to recognize the oneness, to recognizing that there is no separate entity. Nothing is separated from anything. Everything is a part of the collective, and you are a part of that collective. So there, nothing is separated. So since we are born as a human being, and then we have this sense of separation, there is a sense that we are separated. I'm separated from this glass of water because this is a glass of water and this is me. And when I get sick, I get sick. The glass of water doesn't get sick. Or the glass of water falls down on the floor and breaks. It doesn't break me. So we have this sense of separation until the moment that the sense of separation, for whatever reason it is, it dissolves. It goes away. then you don't have that sense. And there's no identification with an object, you know, like you won't identify with this or you don't identify with the body. That identification disappears and it's not there anymore. So it's only what is the substratum of all beings which is left, which is the oneness. It's only one. Nothing is separated. So if you do arrive in this place, none of these questions arise anymore because they're just the question is no longer there. I mean, it may arise for you, but very quickly it disappears. It becomes important to us or those who are still experiencing this separation in the world, in their lives, in their moments. So it means that. And okay, now let me just go back to this. There's the relative reality, which is relatively real, and we're living in it now. Our bodies are living into this world that appears to be real. But if you go deeper into it, you see it's not real. This world we live in, including our bodies and everything about us, our character, our thoughts, our feelings. And our lives, our destiny, all of it, in it's only relatively real. It's not absolutely real. And the reason it's relatively real, okay, and that's how you can find out whether it's real or not, is if you discover this part of yourself, if you dive into something within yourself and you find out what is real. What part of you doesn't change? Okay. So if you go in that direction and you start investigating it, so what is it that doesn't change? And it's always here. If you discover that part, then anything that changes, it becomes unreal. Okay. So I understand it's difficult because I say, well, okay, Zarathustra, if I hit you, poke you with a needle or a knife or something, you're going to bleed and you're going to get injured. That's true in the relative reality, in the world that appears to be real. But this world that appears to be real, yeah, I get hurt. But this thing, this world that appears to be real, is not real because it's changing all the time. It always changes from one thing to another. And you can examine it with yourself. You are not the same person as you were 10 years ago, 5 years ago, or a month ago. Your body's changing all the time. So you're observing this change in your body. You can tell. Or you can just see a significant change every 5 years. That's at least that's my experience with my body. I can see, you know, now that, you know, I'm older. This change, I can see it's faster. Like a lot of stuff I could do last year, like my body doesn't want to do it or it reacts to it or something like that. And I see changes. Some are for better, some for worse in my standards. And also, you can see like everything else in the world is changing. And you can examine it from countries that they come and go from, you know, some countries disappeared. In our lifetimes, they existed 20 years, 30 years, 40 years ago, and now they don't exist. Some are new. They became a country. They weren't there before. You can see it from you living in a city, wherever you're living, and then eventually some of the buildings they get demolished and they build new buildings there, or they put a high rise, or their fields. That before you were going to, it was a park or it was a big grass field or there were flowers. Now they come and build on it. So it's changing. You can see some of your favorite places that it was quiet. It was, you know, like very serene. Now it's getting populated or polluted and it's changing. You can see the change is always happening. There's always something changing to something else. So if you have children, you can see they're growing. Growing up, and now, you know, they were kids, then they were, you know, teenagers and now they're adults and they have their own lives. So changes. So that's happening in the relative reality, the reality which is relative. But the relative reality, yes, in the relative reality that you are a person and you had past lives because you're an entity, individual entity, and you are separated from everything else. There is the illusion of it. There is the feeling of it. Well, in this separation, okay, then you have a past and you have a past life. And there is reincarnation. You're going to be reincarnating and coming back. But that's in the relative reality. That's in the narrative of the story that you're living in. Since I'm living in this world, if I don't have this consciousness, if I don't have this awareness, if I don't come to this realization, then there's a me who had past lives in the world of the mind. And there's a me that's going to have karma, and there's a me who dies and blah, blah, blah. But if I shift to absolute reality and there is no individual in here, there's no Zarathustra as an individual entity separated from the source. So if I come to this realization, I am the source, I'm all of it. So who is dying and who had past lives? Because there's no longer a me. There's no longer this separate person. So these past lives belong to who? They're past lives of existence. Consciousness had past lives. Consciousness is living through me and through all of you. And consciousness is going to continue recreating this human experience on this planet and keeps going. It's just the human, the person, it appears as like a flower opens up. You know, let's say you have a sunflower, it opens up, it's shining, and it's beautiful for a week, 10 days, and then the sunflower dies out. And it disappears. Where does the sunflower goes? Its seeds go back into the ground, and then another sunflower comes. Okay? So you never get attached to the individual sunflower. You're not going to sit down and cry. If you have like 20 sunflowers in your backyard and they're all like healthy and they're getting the sun, they're big, they look wonderful. If one of them dies out, you don't cry about it because you got a bunch more and there's more coming. You don't even think about it because the sunflower spirit is living in these flowers. One comes, one goes, but there's two more coming. Similarly, this is happening with human forms. Consciousness is experiencing human form. So consciousness remains consciousness. It's the form that arises, experiences a life, and then the form dies. The form dies, not consciousness. So, but when we are identified to the form, so it appears that I am dying because I'm identifying to separation. So I feel like, oh, I'm gonna die and I'm gonna be reborn. But there was no me to begin with. The me as a separate entity never existed. It was never there. It looks like it's there, but it doesn't exist. So when I die, it's my body dies. The consciousness remains here and maybe pick up another form. So it doesn't really go anywhere. It's always here. So this reincarnation business is only for relative reality, is those who have not gone through full awakening. It appears to them that they die and they're reborn. And because we have a mind, in this mind we have memories, there's residues of the memories of past lives. But you don't know they're yours, they're past lives. They could be anybody's past life. But since you're identifying to this as you, so you think it's your past life. So, where do I go after here? That's something we're all gonna have to, hopefully, when we're dying. I remember my best friend Ernie, one time I asked him, how would you like to die? He said, I would like to die consciously. I like to be conscious when I die. And to me, it seems like, okay, I'm about to die, and I'm fully aware of this transition, just observing this transition. You can practice this with, let's say, you can practice this with substances, okay? Whatever the substance is. You can pick up a glass of wine and drink a little bit of wine, for instance, and just really objectively just be present to see from what point you drank, you're going to be feeling a change in your body. Okay, you may get warm and tingling, or you're observing. You are conscious. You're having a drink, but you're not just drinking and watching a movie or talking to a friend. You are observing. You're drinking it, and then you're gonna see sensations happening in your body. And if the alcohol sits with you right, then there's like this calm, warm feelings. But you're drinking consciously, you're watching it. Or let's say you take, I don't know, you take a Valium, you take a substance, and you take a Valium and you are watching the effect of the Valium. You're really alert, and how it's going to affect you and calm you down, or it's going to create anxiety in your body. So now you're aware. You're not doing it mechanically. You're doing it consciously. And the same thing with death is, do I have a chance? Maybe I get in a car accident, boom, there's no chance. There's no time to come to this. But let's say if I'm gradually dying, I have to, I have an option. It's not like boom, something hit me and I'm dead. Now I'm dying, and then I can just watch consciously, be aware of this transition of death, of being in this body and going to the other, wherever side it is, dissolving into oneness. So you're transiting into it consciously. And in this conscious transition, you may discover, you don't have a body, but you're here. You're totally aware and you're into everything, but you're not limited to a body any longer. You're not afraid of disease. You're not afraid some kind of bugs are gonna, mosquitoes biting you. You don't get cold. You don't get hot. You don't get jealous. You don't get angry. You're simply here and completely aware, and you're everywhere. So, as I mentioned before, there's two sections fall into this. One is the relative reality, the reality that appears to be real. And in that reality, there is a me, there is a you. We have our own lives and we have our karma, we have our experiences. They're all very real. But at the end of the day, they all disappear. At the end of your life, when you look back, it's interesting. My dad, who was not into the spiritual world and he didn't believe in it, it's interesting towards the end of his life. He would tell me that, "My son, do you see this life? It's all an illusion. It's not real." And this is the same thing I'm teaching and experiencing. So for me, it was like, "Oh, Dad, I've been teaching this thing for 20, 30 years and studying it and being with masters from the day first that I started it. And now he is explaining it to me." Of course, I wouldn't be telling him I'm doing, I've This is, I would let him finish what he would say. But what he was saying was, "Do you see all of this? It's like a tape that, is at this point." I mean, he passed at 91. So let's say he's 89 years old, 90 years old. And he's telling me, like, all of my life, it just passes in front of me. It's all memories. Most of my friends are dead. I don't have any reference to go back to. And the country, the positions I had, his position in the government, everything is gone. It's just vanished. It doesn't exist. And it was like they were like it was like a mirage. It was there and it's gone. And he was saying it's all like an illusion. And he realized that in his way. So if you want to start to look at it that way, then you will see, as long as you're a person and you're identifying to this person, yes, You have a past life, and there's going to be karma, and you're going to have a future life. But once you dissolve into the oneness, there is no person left to have past lives or future life. That person disappeared. So it's just is. Is it making any sense? Is this making any sense to anybody? Okay. Sorry, I have my phone also because I don't have a tripod. I have my phone, so it's blocked as a couple of you. So if you have a question, just turn on your mic and ask me a question because I don't see all of you. So if you wave at me, I may not see you. So that's answering that question. As far as personal experience, like where would I go after this life? I don't know. I'm just like you. I don't know. I haven't died. I had near-death experiences that I was very close. I've had experiences that, it was like wow, or some people go through the tunnel. We've heard that to the other side. But personally, I haven't had an experience that I die, they bury me, and then I come back 6 months after, and I can tell you what's going on. And I don't know of anyone who died, they buried them, and a year after they come out and they say, okay, it's this. I've read a lot of spiritual books. I've been with different masters, but and there's a lot of concepts, there's a lot of theories of what's going to happen, but I don't have hard evidence of anyone coming back and saying this happened, that happened. So, in other words, it could be, excuse me, it could be a very good place that no one comes back. Like after you die, it could be so good that you don't want to come back. Or you can't, or you dissolve into the oneness, and there is no more you wishing to come back.
Excuse
I don't
me,
know.
Zarathustra. Can I ask a question?
Yes, please.
I heard a few people that I've been sitting next to in the moment before they die that they talk about. They see this light, or they see angels or archangels or whatever. They're standing next to them, helping them over, passing this line or whatever you want to call it. Do you know anything about this?
Yeah, I mean, those experiences do happen. And of course they're invisible beings all over. And I do experience them, I communicate with them, I feel their presence, but all we've heard is up to that point, And we have heard people going into the tunnel and it's just going towards the light. And then they get to a point that the light tells them, okay, you need to go back. But I haven't heard any stories past that. I haven't heard anyone like physically, they died for like 30 hours, 50 hours, they were gone. And then, or a day or two, and then they come back. I've heard like they were dead for a minute or two or three or five, and then they came back, but nothing long term. And I haven't heard of any stories passing the tunnel. Maybe somebody has. So we don't really know. We don't have any hard evidence. At least I don't. Maybe somebody's got something. I don't know. But all the videos I watched, all the people I listened to, all the psychics that they're in contact with the other worlds or whatever. I don't know if anybody left and came back a few weeks after. It's always like in the moment, like they were very close, and then maybe they just went unconscious or their heart stopped breathing for 5 minutes, maybe the most, or 10 minutes. I don't know, because your brain will die. And then they came back. But this is as far as I know. But if somebody knows more than that and they really know it, far out, it's good for them because I don't know if I answered your question or it's of any help or not. So, like everybody else, of course, I have pondered on the thoughts of, okay, where do I go after here or whatever. But sometimes, of course, you have a mind, you think, you fantasize about this stuff. But personally, when I really look at it, it's like I don't give a shit. It's like where I go. It's like here and now, like everyone on this planet, I have my own problems, life problems. And sometimes you're trying to figure out these issues in this life, whether physically you're challenged, whether emotionally you're challenged, if you're psychological issue, whatever that you're challenged with life, and you're trying to figure out this life. And to me, this life is a handful for me to navigate in it and figure it out, less alone thinking about a future life or less alone thinking about a past life. It's like, okay, let me master this one first because I'm here and this is my first priority, Yeah, does it make any sense to any of you? It's like I have a hard time figuring this one out because it's so complicated and complex, let alone, going anywhere else. So it's always like coming back here. Hi, Eric. Nice seeing you, my brother. Welcome. So, however, when the mind goes into silence and you are not thinking, the mind falls back, you're in silence, you're in your, like, you just keep growing, growing, growing. You get to a point, like, let's say there's no thoughts. You're living as a human being in this life, but it's quiet in there. There's no thoughts. If there's no thoughts, then there's no seeker looking for any answers. So what happens, the question that we're asking, which is very important for us, it dissolves. It becomes irrelevant because there's no question, because there's no thoughts. There has to be a mind and a thought, thoughts that they arrive. You have to have a mind and thoughts arise in it. Like, what's going to happen to me after I die? But if you're not thinking, where is the thought? And the answer becomes irrelevant. Like, you're not thinking about it and you don't care about the answer. So these are very valid questions, but they're also the mind comes up with it. I'm not saying these are stupid questions. I'm not saying we should not ask the questions, but what I'm saying is the mind wants to know what happened in the past and what's going to happen in the future. And the mind cannot figure it out. And it appears to be that where we are born, it looks like it. Our memory, if there is a me who was living in the past, its memory is all wiped out because I can't remember any of it. I don't remember I was in my mom's womb. I don't remember before I was born. I don't. There are people who do, but I don't. And then I have no clue, physical, hardcore evidence that when I die, what's going to happen? And I know there are a lot of people these days, they're into, like I was talking to a couple, one of my girlfriends, and she was saying, yeah, I mean, she really loves, connecting with these people who have connection with people who died from the other side. And communicating with people who's from the other side, she's really into that. And she gets some answers or whatever. So, and there are people who made a whole career from channeling the dead to the living. But I don't know how much of it is the creation of the mind, and I don't know how much of it is the reality. I don't. So I cannot deny it and I cannot confirm it. Is this the mind creating this? Are there really somebody dies and there's still, there is a entity who died that's somewhere and you can talk to that, that person died and still kept its individual, they don't have the body, but they kept their own character and their taste and smell and everything in a spirit world that you can contact them and they're giving you messages. Is that the person? Or it's when you go to trance and communicating with somebody who's dead, Is it the totality consciousness is answering you and is kind of creating this illusion that there's a person? I don't know. I don't think it's the person. I think it's consciousness. It's the total, because there is no per, the part I know is there is no person. So there's no separate entity. Hi, Renata, nice seeing you. There's no separate entity. So that's my experience. So when somebody dies and you're connecting with them, that person is dissolved into the oneness. So the oneness can speak on their behalf and give you the illusion that it is the person. You understand? So it's tricky. Some people are really into it, but I'm not into it. I don't go there. Go ahead, Susanna.
I said it before, I was dead when I was nearly 11 years old, a child, and I had my short life film. Then I leave my body and I really could feel it, and I leave my body, I left my body on my feet and on my heart and here, and I stood around and I could look through the walls. I could hear the thoughts of the old people in the room on my side. This was the room for dying. And then I felt that I go over and over and then through the tunnel, and I also saw angels.
Right.
And then there was light, light,
Right.
light. And then there
Yeah.
was the question, you want to stay here or you want to go back? And
Right.
I will stay here, and something I couldn't see it, but it was a feeling like doing this. No. I could
Right.
hear everything. I could hear the thoughts of not seeing people. I could
Right.
feel the love, and I could feel what's not cleared and what must be clear.
Right.
So I thought I will stay here. It's so really lovely here.
Right.
But this angel said, and my mom cried. In this moment, my mom starts to cry. Come back, child. I need you.
Yeah.
The angel said, "You have exercises with your mom. Go back, please."
Right.
And
Yeah,
so,
you weren't supposed to leave the party.
yes, I don't want to come back in this shitty world. And I do my exercises. Really, I do them. But life was very, very, very long. I think more than 30 years, only shit for me, because I saw the darkness, I saw the ego of the people, and it was I don't Sehnsucht. All of me wants back in this pure love and in this nice light. And I often
Suffer.
died my suffer, you know. I often died my soul
Right.
often dies. Yes. It was hard to
Yeah.
come in
So.
love back in my heart here, and since then
Right.
it's okay here.
Right. Yeah. So, yeah, it's, I mean, it's a blessing. You got a taste of another dimension. So outside of your body, you know, you got a taste. You get a taste, but we don't know the extent of this. You know, you just saw the light with the angels, so you got a little taste. It could be the tip of the iceberg that you saw. There could be a lot more after that. So, who knows? I don't know. We're gonna find out. You know, it's like there's no rush. I mean, one of these days I'm gonna die and I'll figure it out. But for now, I'm here. And here is like last month there were moments like because I was like so uncomfortable. My body was I was in such high level of being uncomfortable from the sickness. Like there were nights I was just praying like I hope I don't wake up tomorrow morning because I was so uncomfortable from this thing. It's coughing and not be able to sleep here, and then I would go to another bed, then I would go on a couch, and then you know, I would take sleeping pills and whatever. And you know, I would fall asleep for half an hour and wake up and cough and cough and have fever and everything. It was like so weird, so uncomfortable that this went on for like 2.5 months. And it was like, fuck, I don't want to be in this body anymore, you know, I don't, you know, but then I didn't have the bullocks to go because I went on the edge of the balcony and I was thinking maybe I just jump off of the balcony and smash the head on the floor. And then, fuck, it's over. This physical suffering is going to be over. And I know there's no death, but I just get rid of this thing. But then, I didn't have the balls to do it. A, I wasn't motivated enough to
Thank
kill
God. Thanks,
myself.
God.
I wasn't motivated enough to kill myself. And I wasn't depressed. It was like uncomfortable. And because you got to be really motivated to do that, and or very like hopeless, and I knew this is like God's training. I mean, a monastery or whatever, they're just squeezing me or they just got me by the balls, and it's like you can't go anywhere, you can't go for a walk, you can't go hang out with your friends, you can't go to any events or parties. We got you, and you got to stay here in this place and eat it. It was like, okay, where's your meditation, Zarathustra? We thought you're the guru, you're the master. Okay, show us you're the master. Stay still because you can't really go anywhere and you can't do anything. It was like hours and hours and hours that you're just there. Okay, you watch a bunch of Netflix movies, but then you can't look at the screen. I was lucky that it was during the basketball season, the playoffs. So I was really having fun with them, but I couldn't watch so much, or the sound would drive me crazy. So I could just do a little bit of this and that, mostly lying down or sitting. And the weather is so nice. It was a beautiful spring, and I can hear the birds and people out there laughing, singing. It's Mexico, it's very alive. And then you just can't. You cannot walk. You don't have the energy. I mean, I would walk, maybe get to the door, but then after that, it was like I need to collapse. So you can't partake. So you're forced. Life got you by the balls, and you're forced to just stay in one place. And then you're also your body's suffering. And of course, there are moments like, but then it was like, okay, if I kill myself, if I kill this body, I know I'm not dying and I'm not afraid of killing this body, but then the party's over. I mean, maybe if there is reincarnation or whatever the story is, but it's not going to be this party with these characters, And it was like, I don't know if I want to leave this group of friends and family at this point. I'm gonna hang in there and we'll see. And then boom, there's miracle ha healing happens and everything turns around suddenly. It was like, okay, you completed your monastery. You did your time. You spent 2.5 months, 3 months in this prison or in this room of meditating or being a monk. And now, okay, it's completed. You graduated. All right, you can go. Well, there's going to be more in the future, but for now, you have graduated this class. Congratulations. You did it. Or we did it for you. So back to this, we were talking about this death business. But now let me answer your question because I think I answered your question, Andreas, right?
I think there are a lot of answers and a lot of possibilities. That's what you also said, and there is a lot of things we don't really know. But it's not really necessary to know it because life goes on.
Yeah,
Don't care if your
yeah.
mind will get it or not. After I've sent you this message, immediately after I pushed the button, there came an answer to me that everything, that there is no time, there is no space, everything is just, everything is.
Is.
Yes.
Yeah, it's just is.
Yep.
Exactly. And I love that. This is really like one of my favorite places to arrive because there's a lot of noise. And especially I'm here in Sedona, and it's a very strong New Age culture here. And a lot of people are very holy. They don't do this, they don't do that, you know. And they're doing all these rituals. I have friends that they're doing all these rituals to get closer to God. And it's interesting because a part of me is like, I wish I could transfer this to them. Like, everything is God. This is God. This piece of paper is God. This glass of water I'm drinking is God, you know? If I smoke a cigarette, it's God. You know, it's like, but I was there and I have to be patient because I lose my patience. And I have to be patient because, you know, I was there looking for God. And then you discover that it's here. And then finding God here, that doesn't mean that you're going to have these sensations of divine oneness at every moment in your life. It's just the knowing that it's always here. And yeah, there are times you're getting the sensations of the oneness and the bliss, but you don't necessarily have to have the sensations all the time. So I want to go back to this other question because we don't have a lot of time left. And it's so Suzanne asked about
Patricia,
unconditional love. Maybe we can, Susanna, maybe this I can make, maybe I can delve into it next week.
that's all I want to say you now. Let us talk about this topic next week.
Yeah,
It's
because it's
okay,
a
it's
whole,
fine.
yeah, so it's not cheating you, and
No.
it's, yeah, it's not, you know, it's not a short answer because. Yeah, I mean, I'm going to read your question again, but what is unconditional love? I mean, we have spoken about it, and then we're talking about basic trust and everything.
Yes.
Zarathustra, have you seen Natalie's question?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Good. I'm glad you brought it up. So, Natalie, do you know you want to repeat the question so the audience hears it?
Natalie can talk for herself. She's here.
Natalie, talk for yourself.
I could do that. I was just writing, like, what's the point of it all?
Right. What's the, okay, all right. From my understanding, I can only speak to you from what I understand, okay? Not what I've read or what I've been told. At this point, only from the limited understanding that I have from the absolute, because this is infinite, it's infinitive, it's infinite. So there is no point from what I understand. There is absolutely no point of life. Life simply is, but it doesn't have an agenda. And if you're able to gear your mind into that direction, if you're willing to put your prejudice away or your conditioning, your spiritual conditioning away, or whatever the way we were grew up in this life, whatever you've been trained to think, you know, if you're willing to put that away, and you're simply, let's say, if you're in the nature, especially if you're in the nature, because in the city there's a lot of noise, there's a lot of energy going on. You know, but if you're in the nature and you're just watching, you're watching the trees, the birds, the mountains, they don't have an agenda. They don't have a goal. The trees are not trying to make it to somewhere. You know, the birds, they're today, they're here, they're singing and they're looking for some food or copulating or whatever, but there's no agenda. They're not trying to get anywhere. And if you have any pets, you know, you have cats, dogs. What do they do most of the time? Most of the time, they're lying around. You can see cats or dogs, most of the time, they're sleeping. They're chilling. Even if you go, you may say, okay, because they're inside a house, so they can't do much. Okay, but leave them outside. If they're not looking for food, they're not just trying to find the food. The rest of the time, either they play a little bit with each other, but they're just lying down, resting. They don't have any plans. They're not trying to become a lawyer or getting rich or buy the second house or find the love of their lives. They're just here. We're the only species because we have an ability of thinking and or this vastness of thinking, and also we're separated, we feel separated, so we're always thinking like the juice of life is in the next moment. It's somewhere else. The juice of life is here, and it's always been here. The reason we're not experiencing it because we've been conditioned to be somewhere else all the time. It's always something else. It's not here. So what we're doing in 5D in the academy is hopefully getting rid of that conditioning and come back here, coming back to our original state of simply being without an agenda and experiencing the vastness of this moment here and now, because this is where it's happening. This is where life is, here, now. And we keep missing it because we're mind fucking. So always the mind wants to go somewhere else. Well, what's gonna happen? Oh, what is it gonna be like? Nothing. Just hang out in here. Hang out in this. Learn to be here. So answering Odd's name, no, there is no purpose from this angle when you look at it. And then you may say, well, what's the point of me living? Well, once you just settle into the fact that there's no purpose in life, it simply is, then a lot opens up for you because you get inspired by a lot of different things. Your creativity expands. A lot of energy starts flowing through you because you're not trying to be anywhere else. You're not mind fucking. So everything opens. So there's a lot of magic into that. But you just have to try and trust. Let's just sit together. We have come to the end of our time of the academy. Those of you who are viewing this from other places in the world, my website is zarathustra.tv. If you want to have a direct conversation with me, you can go to the academy, 5D Academy on our website and sign up, and then you get a link. And then you can join us on the Zoom meeting. If you have a question, you need to write to me. You can write at Zarathustra.tv, info@Zarathustra.tv, and then we'll just communicate. So let's sit for a few minutes together and just see what happens. We're not even wait for anything to happen. It's just like hang out in silence. Nice seeing you all. It's always a pleasure.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. It's nice to be alive among beloved family, friends.
We are so happy that you are alive and here with us right now. So thank you.
Yeah, for a few more moments. We'll see. There's no guarantee how long it would last, but for the moment, it's here. A child can transform your life and just brings the joy and love out of you. There's no stories, and you just fall in love with them.
My son is a new person.
Yeah, it's beautiful. It's
Yes.
a blessing. It is a blessing. Okay, I have to go. There's a gentleman here to do some maintenance work. So, I love you all. Thank you.